This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
We thank him, we thank him, we ask him for his help, we ask him for his forgiveness. We seek refuge with Allah Ta'ala from the evil of ourselves and the evil of our actions. Whoever is guided by Allah, then no one can misguide them, and whoever is misguided, then no one can guide them except for Allah Ta'ala. I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his final messenger and the Mubarak. This is my dear sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And welcome to this session. May Allah reward you for taking your time out. I know it's really, subhanAllah, may Allah make it easy for all of us, because now Ramadan is creeping towards the beginning of the year. And I feel that's making it extra challenging, because the beginning of the year is such a busy time for most of us. Whether it's starting the kids back at school, or, you know, registering into your programs, it's just so much going on at the beginning of the year. And then now you've got to sort of think, okay, wait, I'm going to prepare myself for Ramadan, which is coming up in like 21 days. I mean, even myself, as the sister just mentioned, I've been so busy. The last 6 months have been one of the hardest 6 months, honestly, of my whole life, because I'm at the very end of, I come to my master's in Fiqh, and I've been working on a really intense academic research paper, which alhamdulillah, may Allah accept it. It is actually about a comparison between the fiqh, you know, the Islamic fiqh and the law, Australian law on domestic violence. So I've gone very deep into this subject. I'm extremely passionate about my paper. Unfortunately, my paper has been accepted by the committee. I just did my defence on Thursday night. But I just, you know how it is, they want me to do some adjustments. So I'm also hoping I can get that done and finished before Ramadan starts. And I have multiple tasks from now until Ramadan as well. And I have a lot of things that I want to do personally to prepare myself for Ramadan as well. So I understand you, I hear you, and just so you know, just a bit of background about me. You know, sometimes we talk about, like, people might know your qualifications, but just remember I am a mother of five. I have five children, but in saying that, they've also grown up now. Okay, they have grown up, so life has got a little bit easier in some ways. However, I do have more assistance now than I need, more support than I did previously, having, you know, them to back me up sometimes, you know, do things. For example, my youngest son, this PowerPoint is courtesy of my youngest son, which he just managed to get together this morning, alhamdulillah, finally, after a bit of nagging. And alhamdulillah, I don't know how to watch it, but he did it, I'm happy with it. Anyway. And, you know, and besides that, you know, alhamdulillah, may I protect my husband, may I reward my husband. My husband's going through a lot of things. I'll just share that in the talk today, inshallah, with you. But besides that, I have worked in my life, believe it or not. Some people who get up and speak have never worked a full-time job. Yes, I have worked a full-time job. Yes, I have studied at university. I actually do have a bachelor also in arts languages. A lot of people don't know about that. I've also, alhamdulillah, studied for my, like, I've got a new jazz, alhamdulillah, in Tajweed, so I studied many years for that as well. And I've done lots of other studies, subhanAllah, over the years. So I've been studying, and I've been trying to juggle life, you know what I'm trying to say? So I know, and actually this will be the first Ramadan that I actually go to Ramadan not studying for the last 9 years. For the last 9 years, I've studied every single Ramadan. I've studied, like, done studying, sometimes had exams straight after Ramadan. So this is going to be the first Ramadan, inshallah, that I don't have to actually do study. So that's going to be like a new thing for me. You can't, oh yes, I thought you were saying you couldn't hear me. I know, inshallah, I ask a lot of, you know, that I can really get the max out of it, inshallah. Okay, so now this talk I've got today is basically seven advices for maximizing your Ramadan. Okay, and this, we're not just talking about theory here, I'm saying I've lived this, okay? So I'm not just talking from some textbook or anything like that. I'm talking about these tips are what I apply for myself, and then what helped me, inshallah, to get the maximum that I can at Ramadan to get in that. Now, we all know that one of the struggles that a lot of women have, in particular, is that we want to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this month, okay? We want to excel in our ibadah, right? But then what happens is we find everything else just seems to get in the way, no matter what we do, no? And we find ourselves, like, let's be honest, like, there's a lot to do in Ramadan. The kids are going to be at school, you're going to drop off, you know, all that stuff, homework, what have you got, right? Well, you might have to work. Everyone's got a very busy life. Our lives are getting busier and busier as time goes by, okay? So that can lead you to feel quite resentful. Like, you've got other people, oh, look at that, mashallah, they're just sitting there quietly, enjoying their, you know, Quran, reciting Sakina, and I'm out there running around like, you know what I mean? You've got any time for yourself, I was going to say that, no, I'm not for talking. Anyway, so basically, I wanted to share with you seven advices for how you can manage and get the most out of Ramadan, no matter how busy your schedule may be, no matter what tests you're currently going through right now, okay? So the first advice is, and I always try to give this advice to sisters, you need to treat Ramadan as if you're going to go on a spiritual retreat. Now, obviously, it's not going to be a complete spiritual retreat because you've got all these other things to do, but what I'm trying to say is, if we're not taking time out for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to reconnect with Allah in this month and to recharge our imans in this month, when are we going to have the time to do it? It's either Ramadan or maybe Umrah and Hajj, alhamdulillah, inshallah, if you're able to go. That's much more rare. Like, alhamdulillah, Ramadan for every year. So we have to look at ways to slow down. Whether we like it or not, we are women and we are very, mashallah, tabarakallah, we're great at multitasking. We can, if we put our mind to it, if we use our imagination, we can find ways to cut corners and to simplify and to, you know, free up our time and to find ways to slow down in Ramadan, okay? Now, so that's the main thing. First of all, you have to go in thinking, all right, if I'm not recharging Ramadan, when am I going to do it? So now we need to think from now, what am I going to do to try to help myself, enable myself to have more time than I normally do during the year, okay? Now, so what does that entail? That entails you're going to have to look at some things that you can disconnect from. So, for example, if you normally have your coffee, your daily coffee with your friend every day, well, that takes up time, okay? So, well, you're going to be fasting, so you can't have a daily coffee, right? But the point is, you understand, there's little things that you might do. Just try to think, okay, how could I, maybe instead of shopping every day, I shop once a week, or I have someone else, they delegate someone to shop for me. You understand? So the point is just think about how can I make more time so that I can just relax as much as possible. If you're a teacher or, you know, someone who has to work, you have, you know, you can't just drop your job. But what you could do maybe is, maybe you can take off, some people take off the last 10 days of Ramadan, for example, or, you know, maybe you can take a few days off here and there, or something like that. We'll just cut back a little bit, or maybe there's a way of, you know, getting some work done now that would free up a bit more time in Ramadan, okay? The point is, my dear sisters, we need to realize that our souls are really in need for ibadah. Like a lot of people don't understand that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us whereby, okay, we worry about our food. We can't, our body cannot survive without the food, right, for nourishment. But we don't realize that our soul cannot be healthy, our soul cannot thrive unless we are replenishing it. And the way we replenish it actually is with this ibadah, it's with this acts of worship that Allah has given us that help us to revive our iman, right, bring us back to life. And, you know, we reconnect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We get a real recharge from this, okay? So this is why you've got to look at it like you're going into Ramadan with that intention that you really want to be uplifted in Ramadan, re-energized with your iman, inshallah. And another thing I would obviously recommend, and I'm sure most of you already do this anyway, women, mashallah, they're good at organizing, but, like, you know, you try spring clean the house now before Ramadan. Even pay a cleaner if you have to, you know. Do whatever you have to do, organize food, try to get things done. You know, things that anything you can think off where you can cut corners. That's the kind of approach you want to take. And that leads me to my next point, which is to simplify your Ramadan as much as possible. So we spoke about planning for Ramadan, right? And thinking about how we are slowed down in Ramadan, but then when you get to Ramadan, you need to be thinking about how you can simplify it. So most of us I think have got to a stage now where we realise that, you know, having a lot of guests every single night, it takes up an enormous amount of time, and you end up the whole day just cooking and preparing, and then you don't even have time to read your Quran or anything. So sure, you know, have those essential guests that you have to have. There are some people that you just have to invite them. It could be your parents or, you know, something like that. Your in-laws, you know, in-laws, you don't care about your in-laws, you're dead, right? So, you know, those ones, you get those done. But then besides that, you know, you try to just think about ways to simplify your routine, any outside activities. You try to, you know, try to be in the house as much as you can, honestly. Try to just, anything you can cut corners. If someone else can drive the kids, if your husband can help drive the kids, if, you know, just think about ways that you can be at home more, because I'm telling you, when the more you calm yourself down and just are able to kind of stay a bit more at home and just be at peace without all these extra things, you'll see that subhanAllah, you'll just be able to go into like a mode, you know, where you actually just really enjoy your ibadah a lot more, okay? And you don't be too tired. Of course, one of those things too is if you can possibly cook food every 2 days, you know, or if you can't store food from now, put in the freezer, so you just take it out. So that means you're going to have a lot more time in the morning to be reading the Quran or praying or whatever you want to do, rather than spending all morning cooking. You just take it out of the freezer after there, pass. You know, it's things like this. And another thing a lot of women don't think about is delegating tasks. I have a policy in my house. It's called Wada'wan Wada Bibi Wataqwa. I taught my sons, I taught my daughters. In this house, it's Wada'wan Wada Bibi Wataqwa. What does that mean? Cooperate in piety and goodness. Okay? We've all got important roles to play. Okay? We've all got busy schedules. So we all need to be putting a hand in and helping. Right? And that way, subhanAllah, we can all, inshallah, you know, enjoy our ibadah, you know, understand a lot more. And they get rewarded for that. So it shouldn't be just the mum doing every single thing and everybody else is just, you know, like, how come we're able to do all the house, you know, how are we able to cook and manage the house and also study and also do everything? And when it comes to them, oh, poor little Petty, he can't even get up and wash a dish when he's studying. Do you know what I'm trying to say? So no. So I thought I'd try and apply this, inshallah. Even when it comes to inviting guests, you know, like if people want to put that on you, that, oh, you've got to cook for these people, they're coming over. All right, well, if you know it's going to be a very big invitation, you can say, all right, look, that's fine. However, I'm going to need some help, you know. So can we possibly order some of this food? I can cook some of this food. We can order some of this food. Perhaps someone else can participate by helping to bring some food. You know, there has to be more cooperation to take the burden off one individual. Okay, not everybody. Like some women, mashallah, tabarakallah, they're very capable. And tabarakallah, they can cook up a storm in like 1 hour or something like that. But other people know it's harder and they're just going to spend all day doing these things, right? So then, you know, just keep putting some ideas in your head of what you can possibly do to make it a little bit easier for yourself. Now, we go to the next point, which is time management. Time management. Now, when you're very busy, one of the really important things you need to do is make use, especially of your mornings. Like if you know that all day you're going to be out working, you're going to be out all day studying, then you're just going to have to make the most of your time in the morning, especially after Fajr, okay? And so after Fajr, you want to try to get your Qur'an in, you want to try to get your adhkar in, you know, if you're there until the sun comes up, then you can pray duha prayer, for example, right? So that's how you know that when you go to work, when you go to uni, you say to yourself, Alhamdulillah, at least I've read a stands, this way you feel you've actually done something in that day. Because I think the hardest thing for a lot of women is to get to the end of the day and look back and think, what have I actually done in this day? Like, of course you've done something. I'm going to come to that, right? I'm not saying that you're striving in your house and you're striving for your kids and your husband, you're going to get rewarded for that too, yes. But we all know that it is different that when you have that, like you call your time with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Your special time with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where you're able to just sit in that space and recite the Quran, do your adhkar, do dua, then it's different, isn't it? It's a very different effect on you than, of course, just reminding yourself of the reward you get in your striving in your house, okay? Then obviously, to also get rid of the time wasters. Now, come on, we all know, let's be honest, we're all, and I'm including myself, if we were to add up how much time we spend on social media, whether we like it or not, though, or even WhatsApp, you know, how many times we go on there, how many times we, like all of that, if we add it all up, it adds, it's a pattern, the time just flies. You can't believe how much time is burned. So we know that's extra time we can get back if we drop some of that. Now, I'm being realistic, because some people say, oh, just go cold turkey. I've got cold turkey literally. Go cold turkey the whole of life. I'm telling you, that is not really, most, I don't think hardly anyone can do that. But what you can do, for example, a couple of hacks I do have. One of them, if you're really strong, this is for the very strong people, I don't think I need to include in this bracket, but you say to yourself, okay, I'm not going to go onto social media the whole day until after Ramadan, Maghrib. And then after Maghrib, I'm going to go on and I'm going to look at social media. That's for the very strong people, okay? For the other people, like me, you say to yourself, all right, I'm going to sit and I'm going to recite the Quran for 1 hour. And once I've recited the Quran for 1 hour, I'm going to allow myself to have a look and see what's going on online, okay? And that helps too, because it's like a little character book for yourself, that as long as you do this, then you can have a look for a bit at that, and then you go back and do something else. Do you understand? That's an example of what you can do. All right. Now, when we're talking about time management, what's really important is to set achievable goals for yourself, as you know, and I always like to have like a daily plan, and you always have to think about like how am I going to be spending my day during Ramadan. Now, one of the most important things before anything is to have that structure for your day. One of the most important things is to have your fard prayers in place. All right, because there are people who they think I'm going to do Taraweeh and I'm going to do all these extra deeds, but their fard prayers are of an uneven order. Like they don't even wake up for Fajr on time. Understand? So if you really want to be, you know, really get the maximum out of Ramadan, start by structuring your day, by structuring your salah. And it starts with your Fajr prayer, right? Just get that Fajr prayer in order. Okay, now I have, by the way, I've got a YouTube channel, and you can go to Umm Janna Deen on my YouTube channel, and you can scroll right down close to the bottom, and you can find a lecture on there about how to organize your life around your prayers. If you need motivation for your prayers, please refer to that lecture. But you know, we need to realize, my dear sisters, the way to get close to Allah is by what He loves, not by what we think. Okay? But what He loves the most is our fard, the fard things that He has obligated upon us. Like if you go to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, "Man taqarraba ilayya 'abdi bi shay'in ahabba ilayya mimma taqarrabtu alayhi." So Allah says, "My servant did not come close to me by anything that's more love to me than what I made love and compulsory upon him." وَمَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبَّ. And my servant continues to draw close to me. He continues to draw close to me with the optional deeds, with the voluntary deeds, until I love that servant. So if you look at that, that hadith is teaching you about priorities. It's teaching you that your priority, you need to get your priorities in order. You want to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is all about goals for Ramadan. Start with your priorities, fix your priorities, and realize it starts with your fard prayers, and then, you know, you think about, okay, I know my schedule. When am I going to be able to fit in that Quran, in that schedule? It could be, as I said before, Fajr. It could be when you come back from work or uni in the afternoon before Maghrib. Maybe you don't have to, if you've got everything done, you can just sit and read Quran until the adhan goes. Okay? Just try to think about when are you going to slot in these, when are you going to slot in these times for yourself? Because you're going to, you really, you need this, okay? You need this time. And then the other thing to obviously think about is about the Taraweeh prayers, which I will talk, spend a bit more time on later on. But think about, just for now, have a little bit of think about how are you going to manage the Taraweeh prayers. Are you going to be praying at home? Are you a person who's confident in reading your Quran so that you can pray at home? Are you a person who's disciplined that you know you're not going to lie down in bed and just fall asleep if you pray on your own? Or are you a person that needs that motivation by the environment, so you know you need to get yourself to a masjid, okay? And then how do I choose my masjid? You have a look to see. If you know that you're a person who needs to stand longer and you know you really want to get the most out of your, you know, listening to the recitation, then you go for a masjid where there is slight longer, you know, suwar in the prayers. But if you know that you're not a person that can stand for very long, but you don't want to miss some tarawih, then go to a masjid where they just pray like for a short amount of time. You understand? But at least you've done something. At least you didn't miss tarawih completely. Okay? You missed this massive reward of praying the nights of Ramadan, because you know the Messenger of Allah said, "Man qama Ramadan imana waqti saban wufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi." Whoever stood during the nights of Ramadan with sincere iman and hoping for the reward from Allah, then Allah will forgive their sins. This is definitely a goal that we want to achieve in the month of Ramadan, inshallah. So that should be part of our basic plan. I say when we come to Ramadan, you think about how your day is, how you're going to structure your day, and you think about what are the achievable things, what are certain goals you want to achieve for the month, that when you leave the month, you look back and you say, Alhamdulillah, I managed to pray Tarawih prayers, for example. I managed to finish reading the whole Quran, for example. Like, if you're proficient in reciting Arabic, then definitely your goal should be to finish the Quran at least once. If you're just a reader and you don't know Arabic, then your first goal might be just to read Juzamma. And even it could be just to read in English, you know? So, actually, I'll be honest with you, something to share is that, subhanAllah, I've always looked at Ramadan as a time to try to, you know, go beyond my goals goals from the last year. So, for example, the first year could be I wanted to read half of the Quran in English. And then the next year was like, read the whole Quran in English, for example. You understand? And slowly, slowly, then you learn Arabic. Okay, now my goal could be just to recite Surah Baqarah from the Arabic in Ramadan. You understand, sisters? So this is how you slowly try to build yourself with your relationship with the Quran, and also try to, you know, achieve, you know, greater goals with each coming Ramadan, inshallah. So that's one thing to look at. What's your Quran goal? Think about this. What is your Quran goal for Ramadan? Okay, ask yourself that question. When you leave Ramadan, what is the goal that you hope to achieve, inshallah? Then, obviously, too, one of the goals that I think anyone would want to have for Ramadan is knowing that when you get from Ramadan, that you have fed fasting Muslims, especially fasting Muslims who are greatly in need. And to know that, alhamdulillah, you managed to break their fast during Ramadan. So that's also an amazing goal to have. And I always say that it's also really encouraged to leave Ramadan knowing that you've done some secret deeds between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that nobody else knows what these deeds are. So, yeah, it's just some secret deed that you try to do for the sake of Allah that no one else knows about. And that could be, for example, giving sadaqah in a way that no one else knows about it. Also, one of the big goals should be that you want in Ramadan to get to a point where you have made such sincere dua to Allah that you have really cried to Allah from your heart. You know, you have really begged Him to forgive you and repented. Okay, so this is some of the goals that you really want to achieve overall in Ramadan in your life. those people who are really, really busy. Okay? Because what happens is you don't have time to do a lot of things. So therefore, you just have to make sure that when you do something, you do the best in it. You do it with an exam. Okay? So if we look at what Allah Ta'ala says in Zubur, He says, أَلَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. If you ponder on that verse for a moment, you'll realize that Allah Ta'ala has said that He is the one who created both death and life. For what reason? لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. To test you, to see which of you are best in deeds. So He didn't say أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, He said أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. So ponder on that. It's about perfecting. It's about, like, you could give only $1, sisters. You might only give $1, but you gave it with such sincerity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives your sins. You could make such a sincere dua to Allah when you cry to Allah, repent to Him. Do you understand? That is far greater in the sight of Allah than what someone else does with provoking actions. You understand? So this is what you need to be aiming for, especially when you're with Him. Now, one of the most important things is perfecting your fasting. It's the month of fasting. So if all you can really do is fast and even just pray your hot prayers, you make sure that you perfect your fasting and your hot prayers. Okay? So we know that there's a huge reward for the one who fasts from Ramadan with sincere iman and, you know, seeking the reward of Allah, and so on from Allah, Iman al-Ahtisaba, وَفِرَ لَكُمَا تَقَدَّبَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. Whoever fasted the month of Ramadan with sincere Iman and hoping for the reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their previous sins would be forgiven. Okay, so what does that mean? That means that I need to try and work to perfect and protect my fasting. And from that perfection is protecting my fasting from any type of false speech or actions. So you want to avoid any types of acts of, you know, doing haram, speech that Allah's not pleased with, whether it's swearing, whether it's lying, whether it's, you know, arguing, whether it's screaming, whether it's, you know, things like that. I'm not saying that you might get triggered in Ramadan or something like that, but we're not perfect, we are humans. But in general, you're trying to achieve a higher level in Ramadan, striving to try to achieve a higher level in Ramadan and to guard your tongue from saying things which Allah is not pleased with. Realize that it is about the reward, my dear sisters. Not everybody gets the same reward from their fasting in Ramadan. And this is one thing a lot of people don't think about. A lot of Muslims don't think about this. They just think, oh, we're all fasting. We're not everyone's on the same level in their fasting. Not everyone's on the same level in their fasting. So, and you can, what happens is if you keep on, for example, if you were to just backbite people during the day in Ramadan, talk about them, gossip, stuff like that, that's all reducing your reward. You might end up with just having it ticked off that you fasted, but there could be no reward attached to that action that you have done. And that's one thing we definitely don't want to do. We don't want to be from those people who fasted and only got hungry and thirsty. So this is something you have to really think about, okay? And that's why the Messenger of Allah actually taught us that if someone tries to argue with you, and believe me, it's always the people closest to you who are going to try and trigger you. So it's going to be, you know, your husband, you know, men, mashallah, tabarakallah, they love to debate, you know? You just follow the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and tell him, you know what, we'll talk about this later after iftar. I'm fasting right now, okay? And when you say inni sa'ima, okay, then you're reminding yourself that you're fasting, you're reminding him that you're fasting, and also that helps you to try to, you know, maintain that state of not losing and not giving into that trigger, you would say. Besides that, remember that fasting is not just about giving up food and drink. So you're trying to reach, you know, what does Allah say in the Quran? He says, like, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kutiba alaykumus siyam kama kutiba alal ladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. Oh, you who believe, fasting has been prescribed upon you just as it was prescribed witness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So that means that what we try to achieve in Ramadan is not just giving up drink and food. It's we wanna basically aim towards fasting with our eyes from haram, fasting with our tongues from the haram, fasting with our ears from the haram, right, my dear sisters? So this is what we're trying to reach, a higher level of taqwa. But by the time Ramadan finishes, you're on a different level with Allah than what you were before. You become more disciplined in being able to restrain yourself from what Allah has forbidden. So that's in relation to perfecting our fasting. But then we also want to focus, like I said before, if you're busy, you're not going to have time to be maybe praying a lot of extra prayers, but at least the prayers you do pray, you try to perfect those. So that would be whether it comes to, like I already mentioned, about organizing your day around your prayers. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ الصَّلَاةُ عَلَى وَقْتِهَا. That from the most loved deeds to Allah is the prayer that's prayed in its time. You see? So just by doing that, you're maximizing, sisters. But some of you, please put your hands up if you've done time management. Put your hands up. Anyone study time management? You see, they teach you these things, but the problem is we don't apply it to our deen. But if you look at our hadith, they teach you how to maximize your rewards, subhanAllah. So try to apply the knowledge you have from your time management to your deen, subhanAllah. So it's about that, but then, so that's, you get great rewards for that. Yeah, you pray your prayers on time. I'm going to say on time, I'm not saying the minute that it goes on the day. I'm saying within the first half an hour, the first hour, you try to pray in the beginning rather than neglecting it and just rushing it at the end. Okay? And then besides that, you try to aim for getting a little sure. Like, let's be honest, most of the year, we are in such a hurry, we just rush our prayers, we hardly get to taste for sure in our prayers, which is like that feeling of submission and really feeling close to Allah in our prayer. So if we're not practicing in Ramadan, we're never going to experience this, okay? So you have to make your goal that, okay, I'm going to perfect my prayers, even if I'm really busy, when I do get my chance to pray my fard prayer, the one goal I do have is I'm going to slow down and I'm going to really try to feel the khushu' when I'm praying to Allah in my fard prayer. Okay, we come to the next point, which is to maximize your hasanat, maximize your rewards, inshallah, by putting extra effort into the times when hasanat is more greatly multiplied. Again, this also gets taught to you in time management, right? Things like this get taught to you in time management as well. And so what I'll just mention briefly here is realize that Ramadan is not all the same. Okay? Ramadan is not all the same. It's considered that the second ten of Ramadan is greater than the first 10, and the last 10 are greater than the whole of Ramadan, especially the last 10 nights. Okay, the last 10 nights are of greater virtue than the other nights in Ramadan. And then, of course, you have Laylul Qadr, the night of decree, when that is the greatest night of the entire year. So when you look at that, you realize that as you're going through Ramadan, you need to try to up your game. You need to be trying to improve. Yes, alhamdulillah, it's normal to start out with a lot of motivation in the first 10. Try just, you know, like a runner who runs a race. You know, mid-race, just try to maintain consistency. Just try to stay at a level of maintenance at that point. But then last 10, that's when you want to push yourself and give it all you've got, the last 10 nights, especially the last 10 nights. And just to mention, because I find this a bit of exaggeration these days, but I wanted to make this easy for you. You don't have to focus as much on the days of the last 10 nights as you focus on the nights. The nights are the most important. So if you have a choice between sleeping through the day and waking up at night in the last 10 nights, you take that choice. Okay? You don't have to be doing all this extra ibadah in the last 10 days of Ramadan. It's the nights that are the most important. And then, as you know, the Messenger of Allah, from the mercy of Allah, and then
again, the messenger of Allah, he taught us that we know that not all those nights are the ones you need to pay as much attention to. Right? Pay more attention, especially to the 27th night, which is the night before the 27th. And pay a lot of attention to the odd nights, like the 21st, the 23rd, right? The 25th. Those nights in particular, and the 29th. So those ones, if you're going to choose between how, because we not all of us have got, you know, lifestyles or circumstances that we can be putting in the same amount every single night in the last 10 nights.
Loved to Allah than someone else.
So don't compare. You just be as sincere as possible. You just try the best you can. Now, we all have different circumstances, and some of us cannot delegate our duties to other people. If you're a new mother, then you are very busy waking up at night, trying to, you know, feed your baby, trying to put your baby to sleep. You are probably running on maybe 2 or 3 hours of sleep, maybe a night. You might be a mother of a special needs child, okay? You might be a carer for an elderly parent. So we have all these roles. We can't just dump these roles on Ramadan and you know, there's no one to dump them on. And inshallah, we're doing it for the sake of Allah, right? But what I'm saying is these people in particular need to be particularly flexible about their Ramadan roles. And the best thing you can do in this situation is actually embrace your situation and realize that this is what Allah's chosen meant for me right now. This is the role that Allah loves and has chosen for me right now, and so therefore I'm going to seek the nearest to Allah through this deed. And you know, there's nothing stopping you, my dear sisters, from increasing your dhikr of Allah. No matter how busy you are, you're a mother, you're a carer for an elderly parent, a special needs child, what is stopping you from saying astaghfirullah, 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 constantly, subhanallah, 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 and we all know how heavy these deeds are in the scale of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Now, finishing up inshallah, we need to realize that even in the time of the Sahaba, my dear sisters, the companions, not every Ramadan came to them and they're living in perfect circumstances. There were times where they had to go out to battle, like the Battle of Badr, or they had to deal with the loss of loved ones, right? So we should not expect that every Ramadan is going to be the same. Inshallah, you're going to have some Ramadans where you really taste that, you know, that very quiet of Ramadan, it's peaceful, and you can really enjoy your ibadah. But then there's going to be other Ramadans where, you know, I say that Ramadan is what we call a Ramadan of like jihad and sacrifice. Okay, so you might, I divide people into two types. You either get to have a Ramadan of ibadah, of like where it's a lot of worship you're able to do, or it might be for you a Ramadan of jihad and sacrifice. Whichever way you seek nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by that, being in that. Finally, my dear sisters, the most important thing from any of these points that I mentioned today is simply make dua to Allah and for Him to give you tawfiq. وَمَا تَوْفِيقِي إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. There's no success without Allah. We cannot rely on our own efforts. No matter how many time management books we read, right, sisters? No matter how much you've prepared, how many courses you went to, it's not about that. Ultimately, success is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all right? And this is why, you know, we make that dua. We should make that dua. Allahumma balighna Ramadan wa barik lana fi. Oh Allah, let us even reach Ramadan, and not only just reach Ramadan, bless us in Ramadan. And I've left you here on my last slide with a dua that the Prophet taught Mu'adh. And he said, that I love you, Mu'adh. And to say this dua after every Fajr Salah. Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadati. This dua, say this dua for Ramadan too. This will help you, inshallah, because you're saying, oh Allah, help me to remember you and do dhikr, a lot of dhikr of you, and to thank you, to be thankful of you. Thankfulness is not just saying alhamdulillah. Thankfulness is even being in a state that Allah is pleased with. Using what Allah has given you from blessings in a way that Allah is pleased with. Okay? That's thankfulness to Allah. Wa husni ibadati, and to be able to worship you in the best of ways. Because we need Allah's help to be able to worship Him. None of us can even say alhamdulillah unless Allah gives us the ability. Right? Wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So I ask Allah Ta'ala that He blesses all of us this Ramadan. I ask Allah Ta'ala to allow this Ramadan to be from the best Ramadans of our lives. Allahumma. وأستغفر الله لي ولكم وسبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.